You know, you might think about taking Jesus Christ as your savior instead of fooling around with all this stuff.
Ah, Jesus.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I like him very much. He no help me curveball.
You trying to say Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What the hell's going on out here?
Well, Nuke's scared because his eyelids are jammed in his old man's hair. We need a live rooster? We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
That's all we got? One damn hit?
You can't say damn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube, youtube.com/1080AM The Fan.
Period.
Got a lot to get to today.
It's a busy day, man.
Oof, man.
NBA draft is tonight.
Are you excited for it?
I'm very excited for it.
I think it could be a little crazy.
I think after the first 2 to 3-ish picks, then we're going to get wild and funky and see what happens.
I think it's two. I think Flag, Harper, and then after that, I have no idea who's picking who at what spot.
Yeah.
We'll go through where the latest mocks have Portland going.
Oh, the final mock.
The mock.
The last mock.
Or do we trade out?
Yeah, we could. Might not even take somebody at 11.
Multiple picks. We give them 11. We move back a little bit, and we say we'll take two more picks.
Nobody we love at number 11. We just slide on back.
Poll question is up. Been a couple days. What grade do you give the Anfernee Simons for Drew Holiday trade? Dirt gives it an A-. So A, B, C, and D/F/incomplete are your options. Right now, D/F/incomplete is your leader.
Yeah, it's going to win
a
the poll
is
question.
Last at 11%.
Not surprised by that.
I think people are with you in largely why you feel how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
I just think also other people want to see what else is coming with this,
because
he is a good player to have.
Without a doubt. I understand the criticisms of it. You got another guard, so that's going to logjam the position, so you traded a problem for a problem in that regard with Scoot. Like, I understand a lot of the criticisms that people are bringing. I think people are not giving enough credit to what a $37 million expiring deal will look like in a trade, in the trade market in 2 years.
It's certainly part of my thinking. I just want to see more of what they're
going
to do.
Keep going. This is a great start. Yes. Let's be active. You need an active offseason.
So, you know, the draft grades are in, and Portland is mainly in the C to C minus category of this trade.
Yeah.
I want to read a blurb or two from a couple writers. This one's from Kevin Pelton, who I mentioned in the first hour at ESPN.com. He says, it seems unlikely Portland would make this move without going 23-18 over the second half flirt with a play-in appearance before running out of time. That success was built in large part of poor opponent three-point shooting that the Blazers will have a difficult time repeating. Teams shot just 34% from three against Portland in the second half, which was the second lowest in the league. He says, there's no doubt their defense improved down the stretch. Their opponent's shot quality went from 13th in the first half to 8th in the second half, as measured by Genius AQ's quantified shot quality. But Portland's jump from 27th in opponent effective field goal percentage in the first half to 6th over the last 41 games overstated the magnitude of that progress.
Yes.
Which is what this show has been saying the whole time.
Yes, it was a misleading end to your season.
But they invested and... See, I had this back and forth yesterday on the course with Meringue. The expectation bar. Now, you might say, I need to see what else the moves are. But if I was just to say they're going to trade for Drew Holiday, I don't know. I don't know about you. I don't know about anybody else. That tells me the Blazers are going for a playoff spot, right?
Yeah.
We would imagine even before that trade, that's kind of what they were flirting with. I think Cronin was flirting more with play-in, and Chance was like, play-off.
We'll be a top five seed.
And it was
whoa. Pump the brakes, buddy.
But you can't be making this move unless you're trying to make the, unless you think you can make the playoff. And me and Danny disagreed on that. He doesn't think that this indicates that. And I'm like, I don't think you're trading for a 35-year-old Drew Holiday unless you're telling me you think you can make the playoffs in the West. Now, this, what's interesting is when you look at the Western Conference, so they added the trade into their preseason power rank data, right? They add Drew Holiday to this. And basically it comes out that Portland is behind only Utah and think New Orleans.
You mean ahead of
or
only?
Ahead of yes. only Utah in New Orleans.
Sounds about right.
In the Western Conference. Yeah, here it is. Monday's post-final power rankings for next season have already been affected by this deal. It had Portland 12th in the West ahead of New Orleans. Oh, the Suns and the Jazz. So this might push them ahead of the Kings.
Sounds about right. I wouldn't put him any higher than that based on this trade.
There is a Sportline out here. Sorry, I got a lot of articles up. Sportline just going player for player. Portland actually wins this trade because Drew's a better player.
Yeah.
Their winning percentage before the trade was 48.4. After the trade, it's 50.5%.
He does far more things to impact a basketball game than Anfernee Simons does.
100%.
Yes. Anfernee Simons is a guy who, if he's not on offensively, he's a waste of space out there.
Yeah.
And that's who he's been his entire career. If he has games where he's cooking and goes for 40, that's great. He's going to help you win. If he has a game where he has an off shooting night, he doesn't grab a lot of rebounds, he's not a good distributor, he's not a plus defender, he does nothing else to help the team win, let alone is he not a leader.
Zach Harper wrote on The Athletic, Blazers acquiring Holiday again. I do not understand this trade for the Blazers. It's possible that they just didn't see a future with Simons. Maybe he didn't want to sign an extension. Perhaps they didn't think he'd fit in a defensive mentality they seemed to occasionally form last season. Maybe they wanted to open up more minutes for Shea. The keys could now be fully handed over to Scoot, who played well in the second half. Regardless, sending out Simons in 2 seconds, so you have the privilege of paying a 35-year-old Holiday 32.4 for next year, 34.8 for the following season, and then 37-year-old picking up a $37 million player option in 2027 confounds me.
Yeah, I totally understand the criticism of it, man. I don't think he's going to be here for 3 years. That's part of my reaction to this trade.
Could this deal have been done without the picks? Again, they're second-round picks.
Yeah, I don't know. That was a weird caveat on it where you're just like, I don't quite understand that second-round picks do nothing for me. The hit percentage on second-round picks is feels like less than 3%, but maybe I'm over-exaggerating that a little bit. So I didn't really make much of the future second-round picks down the road. I think part of this gets back to, and my take on it, and for those who want to criticize, I would ask, is your criticism because Anfernee Simons is no longer on the Blazers roster, or is your criticism because you didn't like the return and an Anfernee Simons trade? And in either category, I would then ask the follow-up question, is Anfernee Simons a guy that you want to give a four-year, $140 million extension to? I don't know what the exact numbers would have been, but he was going to make roughly what Drew Holiday was going to make in a contract extension. So is that something you wanted to tie yourself to long-term financially? Is that a piece you really want to lock down for 3 or 4 more years? That would be my first question. And the second is, for those who are angry with the return on the trade, like, look, I have been very critical at times of Joe Cronin. I don't think anybody needs to refresh your course on the negative takes that I've had over the last year and a half to 2 years. But this, to me, is very similar to the CJ McCollum deal. Like, I don't think there was a lot of interest in there out there in the NBA for Anfernee Simons. Well, I just don't.
See, so I think both general managers are suffering from the same situation. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. Neil Olshey should have traded CJ far earlier
yes.
than the organization did.
And Cronin should have traded Anfernee Simons 2 years ago.
So, yeah, I think there's a little bit of that for both of those guys. Olshey could have capitalized bigger on CJ if he struck while the iron was hot. But he didn't. He quadrupled down. He liked CJ more than he liked Dame. Like, that has been made abundantly clear. Same thing could be said for Joe. That, you know, it's easy to say, okay, I'm going to eventually, CJ's gone and I got Dame, but like, who knows how much longer I got Dame. I have this 20-some-year-old point guard, combo guard. I'm going to go with him. Yeah, well, that's part of that business that's tough is like, you have a good efficient, you have a good score.
Yes.
You don't want to lose him and see him thrive somewhere else, but by the time you do trade him, you don't have any value for him. You actually have to attach stuff to move him.
Yes, you do.
So it's like both guys, I think, suffered from the same fate of kind of a similar player.
Yeah.
The lethal combo guard who can either run the point is big enough to really be a good substantial two guard for you.
And is a terrible defender.
It's funny how that happens. They work together, and both general managers, I think, suffered from the same fate.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment completely. And if that's your criticism of the trade, that they should have just done it sooner, then you're not going to find any bigger agreeer than me, because they should have made this trade. The second you draft back-to-back drafts with Shaden and Scoot, and you're moving on from Damian Lillard, this should have been the next move that happened. And there would have been probably a little bit more interest in him, because whoever you're trading Anfernee Simons to now has to figure out, do we let him walk in free agency or do we give him a contract extension? And that will be a conundrum that now Boston has to face.
So I know this is a non-Portland blurb, and I want to get back into our Blazers because they're on the clock. We got Gundy at the bottom of the hour. There's an element of this trade, too, we haven't even gotten to yet, and I want to get to that. I've been seeing a lot of the Boston intel, the beat writers and some of the WEEIs and the hubs and all that. There's a lot of noise that he's not going to stay a Celtic.
That Simons won't? Yeah.
That Simons, like, and I think it was Himmelbeck. He's a longtime beat writer for the Celtics here. I'm blanking on his first name. He's as plugged in with that organization as any guy on that beat. And he basically is like, Boston's not overly committing. It's like, hey. So he might be their Drew Holiday.
Very welcome.
They get him just to end up flipping him to a team who's desperate to go get a scorer, but a scorer who's on an expiring contract.
Boston is on a total reset financially.
They
right
absolutely
now.
Are.
And them re-signing Anfernee Simons doesn't make a lot of sense for them. If they're listening to trades on Jaylen Brown right now, which Shams reported last night, now does he get dealt? I don't know, but they're reportedly...
Oh, did Shams have that?
He had that.
Was it on Twitter or was it on SVP?
He was on with SVP last night. He said they're answering phone calls, man. They're listening. They're open. Now, will somebody meet the asking price? Who the hell knows? But Boston is a new ownership group that is coming in saying, excuse me, what is this tax bill? How do we get rid of all this money? Yes, please. Porzingis is gone. Obviously, Holiday is gone. Anfernee Simons might be the next one. Jaylen Brown might get dealt. So that doesn't surprise me in the least from them.
Can I tell you something that really pissed me off yesterday? Side note.
Hmm.
So this is where I miss Woj. And this is where Shams is a little less than for me. One, I just don't find him very entertaining when he delivers news. He's reading like a robot. But two, he's on SVP, and I missed the Jaylen Brown blurb. But when I caught him on SVP, I heard him sign off, "Don't go to sleep, don't go to sleep, Scott.
Yeah,
don't go to sleep." I was up till 10:45 last night, just waiting and waiting.
Nothing
and waiting
happened.
Nothing happened.
Yeah, yeah. What was that tease all about?
What are you doing?
I want to go to bed.
I'm not you. My phones aren't blowing up like yours.
I'm tired.
But if you're on national TV saying, don't go to sleep.
Yeah, you never know what could happen.
I'm going to stay up.
Yeah.
And I got nothing.
That was misleading. Misleading tease there from old Shams.
He ruined my sleep.
He absolutely did. Now all the action will probably happen today now that we're on draft day.
That's okay. If it happens at 9:05, I don't care. I want all the action. We had a signing yesterday. We had an opt out and a sign. We had a trade. The Boston Celtics are under the second apron. Like, they're under all that. They're cutting the money. They don't want the tax bill. And we're a part of it. And the part of it that I want to talk about that we haven't even gotten to yet.
Let's have this be a bigger deal. Let's go get Brown, man. Let's add on to this trade.
Well,
what do you want in return, Boston?
They'd gladly take those Milwaukee picks.
Yes, they would. That's a great way for them to reset, financially speaking.
The only problem with Brown, you could say there's a couple. Not good with his left. How does that work with two I'm not saying two and Denny should stop you from. I just I don't know how that works.
I just get a lot of long wings, man. Be the Toronto Raptors. Are you over 6'5" and a wing? We'll take you.
And just have no true center.
No
just
true
be like,
center. Just
Tamani,
wings.
Denny, Jalen, Drew, Scoot.
Yes.
Figure it out. Go.
Figure it out. Go. Go play. Positionless basketball. That's what everybody tells me we play now, right? There's no 1-5 anymore. You just go out there and hoop.
What is the impact of Drew Holiday on Scoot? I want to talk about that coming up next on The Fan. There was one aspect of that trade with Holiday that we hadn't gotten to yet, and that was, and we talked about this yesterday, that was the thing about the Fangolf Classic that's great. It's great to meet listeners. Man, we met so many great listeners. Thank you guys all for coming out and golfing with us. We had a listener just coming out to hang out, just brought his lawn
chair.
Just hung out,
he just sat with us there. He's like, I was hoping somebody had an open spot, but there wasn't, so he just came and hung out at the sixth hole.
And so we had a lot of fun, and we were bummed to not be on the air to talk about the trade, obviously, but, you know, that's our once-a-year hangout-with-listeners event that we look forward to every year, and so it was a smashing success. We had a good time. The one element that we talked about on the course that we hadn't brought to the air and hadn't brought to the air yet, do you think the Drew Holiday trade, or I guess I should say, how does Drew Holiday being a Blazer, assuming he stays, and I think Sean Hyken reported that he's hearing that he's staying.
That's what most people around the league are saying.
I would say the way Shams wrote the initial trade piece, it's like intending to stay. Fisher of Yahoo? The Stein line. I think him and Mark Stein are partnered now on a Substack, basically saying he's hearing that they want Holiday. They don't want to move Holiday again. How does this impact Scoot, in your opinion, getting Drew Holiday?
I think he is. I do agree with your earlier assessment that people over-exaggerate the mentorship of young players that you're going to get. I think for me, it's not necessarily about the leader that he would be in the locker room. I think it's more about the work ethic and the way that he plays and the effort that he shows.
They're certainly going to sell that part if they have a press conference.
Without a doubt,
Drew.
They will, man. I think the next big question that I have, sans the what are the other moves that take place. So this is one, assuming that Drew Holiday will be on the roster on opening night. It's just, what does your rotation look like? Like, that's the next follow-up that I have. Drew, I know there's reports out there that he's unhappy and he doesn't want to be here in Portland. I've never heard of the writer that had that report. So take everything this time of year with a grain of salt, man.
Can I just say this quickly? I don't mean to interrupt you. I saw this very late yesterday.
Yeah.
And I didn't react to it in any way other than I don't buy it. Now, look, I have no idea what's going to happen. Drew Holiday might get traded. This could all age terribly.
Very well could.
He's a never blazer for the second time.
It'd be pretty wild.
It would
be wild. At that point, you make the jersey, right? If he's a never blazer twice,
somebody's got to have a holiday jersey.
Somebody has to make the Drew Holiday jersey.
If he gets traded, then cool. We'll react to that. All we can do is react with the information we have.
Yes.
As of right now, the intel is that he's on the team. Okay?
Yes.
Now, when I saw the report from some rando of heavyweights or heavy.com or TonyPerkis.com, fatcamp. I don't know where it was from.
Step off the scale.
Yeah.
Steve B. Hoop.
Yeah.
Was I think the writer who had it.
Can Steve B. Hoop or anybody else, can you point me in the direction where Drew Holiday has had similar things leaked in his career?
Steve, what's this guy's name? Steve Bulpit. Is the writer, and he is heavy on sports is the column.
Heavy on sports, thank you. And look, if he's right, okay, I guess I'll give him his flowers. I don't think he'll ever be able to prove he was right. There is no history of Drew Holiday being that guy.
No, there never has been.
Down years, up years, it doesn't matter. Drew Holiday has never at any one point in his career been the guy to leak his frustrations.
No.
So, I apologize to Steve B. Hoop of HeavyFatHoops.com or whatever that was. I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all. Yeah. And I saw it and I rolled my eyes and I'm like, come on, man, that's not Drew Holiday.
Also, if he is upset, I would politely sit him down and say, hey, Drew, first off, welcome to Portland. Second off, remember the last time you got traded here?
You're welcome. We gave you a second championship ring.
We won you a second title. Now, you were a part of that.
We won you.
We got you a second ring, okay? We could have traded you to Timbuktu. We sent your ass to Boston. We didn't need to give you to your preferred destination at all.
We asked for your preferred destination.
We have no relationship.
None.
We've never met before. Yeah. You're not a Blazer legend. You're not Damian Lillard. We sent you to the place that you wanted to go, and what happened the first year that you were there? You won another NBA championship.
Yeah.
So here's what you can do. You can sit your ass down and shut up and take your minutes here in Portland because we did you a solid. Now you're going to do us a solid. Look, we're going to trade you at some point. But for the time being, you're staying on the roster, and I don't care if you're unhappy or not. You're going to bring your ass off the bench, and you're going to be a great mentor to our young guards, and then we'll trade you in 16 months.
And listen, old man, you can take a warm glass of shut the hell up.
Yes. If he is upset, I'm giving him that. You got two rings. One of them came because of us. So sit your ass down and play your minutes, all right? That's the reaction if he really is truly upset.
Now, let's get away from HeavyFats.com.
HeavyFats.com report. We don't know if it's true or not.
Now,
I do think it's incredibly impactful for Scoot. I think he is, man. I don't know what Scoot is going to be. It has been a less than stellar first 2 years of his NBA career. I am under no thought that he's going to turn into an all-NBA kind of guard. But getting somebody who has clearly a great work ethic, has been a true professional everywhere he has been, admired by teammates and everybody who has been around him, who is an elite two-way player and at times has been very good offensively and one of the best defensive guards we've seen in the NBA over the last 10 to 12 years. I absolutely have questions about rotations and who plays what minutes and who's coming off the bench and who starts if he is on the roster on the opening night. But outside of that problem, Anfernee Simons was never that. He was not a leader. He was not a vocal guy. He was not somebody that I think that was a rah-rah guy inside the locker room. He was never going to fill that responsibility on this roster or any team that he will be on. And that's fine. You don't have to be that guy. I do believe that Drew Holiday can be more of that guy for your two young guards.
So I think this is a good thing. And I don't know what his ceiling will end up being, Scoot Henderson. It's not so far been what it was kind of sold coming into the draft. And, you know, that's unfortunate. I'm excited about the idea of Scoot starting with Drew.
Sure.
And
I would prefer Scoot and Shaden with Drew coming off the bench, but I know fine. I'm maybe living in my own farts there.
No, I mean, if that happens to...
Hey, you're 35 cool years old, you're a great vet, come on and play defense, we're going to start our two young guys.
I just can't imagine that you made that move with the idea that Scoot isn't get... This isn't about Scoot.
And I would say it should be about Shaden as well, of just let's clear the runway and you are the driving force offensively.
And look, we can disagree with coworkers. We talked about this yesterday and we had pushback from, no, it's not about him at all. And you can't be the number three pick in the draft going into year three
with a contract decision looming
and tell me this isn't about him. They need to know, and they need to know soon. So, like, I think this is good. The mentorship thing, I guess what I should try to clarify here is I think he can be a mentor type in terms of show him what it's like to be a pro, be a good locker room guy, help him if he has questions. But, like, this whole idea that these players come here and it's almost like people think they just like, you want to stay at my house and we'll watch film? Like, these guys are businesses unto themselves. That's not how this works. It's just good to have good basketball players there.
Yes.
I think our next guest coming up the ticker at the bottom of me, I was going to basically say this of like, you know what? Yeah, they gave 2 seconds with it. You know what's nice to have? Good basketball players.
And Drew Holiday is a better basketball player than Anthony Simons.
And I will say, yeah, that's true. I do want to see the other moves, and I'll give it all a grade. But, I like this move for Scoot because I think Drew can play next to Scoot.
Yeah, I do too.
And now what does that mean for Shea? Or maybe it's going to be Scoot and Shea starting, and maybe Drew's willing to come off the bench. Whatever it is, I just think this is as good a clean start as Scoot has had. Now, to me, it's unfortunate it's coming in year three and it didn't happen in year one.
Bingo.
But totally get, come from the G League. Okay, there's a transition period there. It hasn't been nice, those G League guys from that. I totally understand all of that. His shooting got a little better last year. He had some really good moments. He still had some moments that made you go, what are you doing? I like this. I think this is a move in the positive direction that does impact a Scoot Henderson in a good way. Now,
yes,
whether he takes advantage and whether it works out for him, I don't know. But I think having a Drew Holiday next to a Scoot, I think it's nothing but good.
Yeah.
And I hope that Scoot is given more leeway. Gundy, who's going to join us at the bottom, he's written about this. Scoot has better plus-minus offensive numbers on the court than Denny.
Yes, he does.
And Denny had a really good season for himself.
Yes, he did.
So it's not like Scoot is a complete minus player. I like having a Drew Holiday out there with him. In moments, maybe he has a turnover. Drew kind of gets the ball and settles things down a little bit. Like, having that experience next to a guy who's still learning the process, I like that.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that if he's playing with Shaedon Sharpe as well, we know that Shaedon has had his issues defensively. And there were times when you have Shaedon and Ann on the floor, and you don't feel like you have a snowball's chance in hell at stopping anybody because neither of them are good defenders. And so if that is your backcourt for the next year plus, that helps you in that category as well. I think there's a lot of things to untangle with this. But one of the bigger ones for me will be just simply rotation and is he willing to come off the bench? Because part of my reaction to this trade, and maybe, again, I'm completely whiffing on this, if he is on the roster on opening night and he's saying, look, I'm not coming off the bench, I'm Drew Holiday, I've started every game for the last however many years, I'm going to continue to start every game going forward, is saying, hey, you're 35 years old, we got these two young guys we want to build with, you're going to play 35, 37 minutes a night, but we're going to start our young backcourt and fully see what we have there. And I think that's the biggest thing out of this for me that I'm hoping is ultimately accomplished, is that Shaedon Sharpe is extension eligible this offseason. Right now, you can give him an extension. You feel confident giving him an extension? You giving him $30 million a year?
If he agrees to I wouldn't give him $30 million a year right now.
But if that's what he's asking for, that's the only thing he'll sign on with.
But then we're not coming to an agreement and we'll see what your season is.
Then you're
going
to run the string out, right, in the next year. At this point next year, who will be up for an extension? Scoot Henderson.
Well, he'll be eligible. Yeah.
He'll be eligible. Yeah. You don't have to give it to him, but he'll be eligible for an extension. Like, we are nearing the end of the road with both of these guys in the decision of, are we going to pay them? Are we going to keep them? And will that tie us up financially with two average to below average players who we're overpaying because we, again, are paying our own guys? Like, that is my hope out of all of this, is Drew Holiday is going to take up some minutes, but I also don't view him as somebody offensively who is going to dominate the basketball and dominate possession time on that end of the floor. And you could say, Scoot, you're running the offense. Let's see what you got. Shaedon, in closing time, who's going to be our number one scoring option? I know Denny will be a huge candidate there, but Shaedon can also fill that void. Like, allowing these guys more runway to see what they have before you make the decision on if you're going to pay them.
I was thinking about this yesterday, and I need you to answer quickly because we got to go to Gundy for the ticker.
He's on the toilet. Let's go.
Did them trading Ant randomly, because a lot of us, I think, were thinking they were going to keep him.
This came out of left field, totally left field.
Does that reevaluate your belief that they are going to make another move with a player that they haven't moved yet?
Yeah, it does. It absolutely does.
In a positive direction.
In a positive
right?
direction. Yeah. It absolutely does. I didn't think that they would do it, and they finally did it.
Let's talk to Eric Gunderson, Blazer Banter. He joins us live from the toilet. The Daily Ticker is next. We got Bill Orme at the top of the hour. Stouter Story at 8:15. Dirt and Sprague back with the Ticker next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker on The Fan is poured by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Hard Hops Blackberry. Hop-infused hard seltzers.
Pelican Brewing Company presents today's Daily Ticker. Pelican invites you to take a beach break. Is he already laughing on the other end? Let me get through the read, Gundy. Come on, calm down over there. Take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and Lincoln City. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach.
I love meat.
The wonderful Pelican fairy, Ryan Lischka, dropped off a great gift basket for us. I had the Marionberry soda last night when I got home.
I put him in the fridge when I got home.
Dude, oh my God.
My wife already had one.
They're unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm blown away.
Ranting and raving about him.
Blown away. Joining us now, calm down, Gundy, calm down. It's early. It's Blazer Banter, Eric Gunderson, at Blazer Banter on Twitter. You can go check out the Blazer Banter Substack, blazerbanter.substack.com.
Look, we have a lot of serious things to talk about with the basketball take God himself.
We do.
We need to know, okay, is Eric Gunderson a folder of toilet paper or a crumpler of toilet paper when on the porcelain?
Oh, I'm definitely a fold.
Thank you.
More of a fold. Yeah,
you're classy.
Sure.
I had you as a crumpler, Gundy. I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah, there's two crumplers on this show, Gundy. Yeah. I'm the only folder. Everybody else just crumples a big ball and puts it in their butt.
I don't got time for that. What am I, folding laundry here?
Got to get an algae crumpler jersey.
Good stuff. So let's talk, Gundy. I mean, what a day, right? Or 2 days ago, I should say. First off, you need to change your Twitter background picture. It is a picture of Scoot, Anthony Simons, and Shaden Sharp.
Oh, no.
We need a new one in there. Let's impose Drew Holiday into that. It comes out of total left field. Everybody who's supposedly in the know telling me Ant's going to get an extension. That doesn't happen. He gets traded. What was your initial reaction to the deal?
Well, I thought it was great for the Blazers. You know, the second round picks kind of threw me off a little bit, but the more I think about it, it's like, let's say they had not extended Simons and he came back and they let him walk or whatever, you know, what are they doing with that extra, you know, 27 to 30 million in cap space? And look, Holiday is advanced in his age, but he can still defend. He still played 30 minutes a night last year for a team that won 60 games. He was on Team USA. And I think, you know, he's still very, very good and also really fits this team's defensive identity, which Simons really did not. And also, you know, I think having Simons out now, you know, he's 26 years old. He's in the prime of his career. It probably was going to not be an easy thing to deal with the Scoot of it all, which is what a lot of us have been saying for months, that they need to let Scoot cook and figure out what Scoot is. And so I was thrilled, because to me, this trade does that.
So I'm kind of curious about a lot of things here. I give it an incomplete, just in the sense of, Gundy, I got to see them do another move, because, and you and I have been texting about this. You took subliminal shots at me on social media. I mean,
Gundy. Well done, dude. Shots fired. Yeah, Gundy, he's sitting on a fence over here. Like, get him on one side or the other.
But I do think you can like this move, but I do think you have to wait to see what the next move is. Because if there isn't a next move, I just don't understand the logic of this move at all.
I mean, in a vacuum, yes, I understand. Like, okay, in a vacuum, I actually like the move, because I think he's 35 years old. It's a much easier sell to tell this guy, I don't care how much money he's making. Scoot was the number three pick. They were better offensively when Scoot was on the court last year. As much as everyone talks about gravity and shooting, Scoot had the highest on-court plus minus to their offensive rating of anybody on the team, including Denny Avdia. So the offense was better when Scoot played. So I don't buy this notion that it's a charity case or it's not win now to start Scoot next year. So that's why I don't think it's a bad move in a vacuum. But I agree with you. It would be better if they can move more contracts, create a little bit more flexibility, you know, move Jeremy Grant somewhere, you know, to let Avia and Kamara be the starting front court. Like, I think those moves would make the move better, but I still think in a vacuum it's a good move because I think it sets up Scoot to take over the offense and the keys and, you know, and play. And also I think it's better for the team because they were better offensively last year when Scoot played.
I really, is there a gravity rating on NBA players? Is that a thing?
I mean,
there should be.
I mean, allegedly, you know, I don't know. I haven't seen that one.
His,
you know,
gravity, I like that.
I feel like there's a flux capacitor rating. It's just analytics I've never heard of.
His gravity plus minus is above the league minimum average.
How much, I got to ask you, Gundy, how much of the draft tonight, like, I'm curious if Portland's going to stay at 11. Are they going to be a team that's willing to trade back for multiple picks for a team that maybe wants to move up to get a guy? I'm kind of fascinated with the draft. Brooklyn has 5 picks. Like, no team has used 5 picks in draft history. They have a sixth of the draft. What do you think? What are you expecting as a from a Blazer perspective tonight?
I mean, I think everything's on the table. And, yeah, I've been kicking around the idea of, you know, I think using 11 and maybe in Jeremy Grant to move back out, you know, to move further back into the first round. You know, you let someone, you know, move up, and the cost of moving up is to take Jeremy Grant. And so, and give up one of your later picks. Maybe it's Brooklyn. Maybe it's New Orleans, who, you know, Troy Weaver is now the assistant GM in New Orleans. And Troy Weaver is the one who signed Jeremy Grant to his first big contract in Detroit. So I think there's a connection there. And everyone's also saying, you know, I've heard everything about New Orleans is open for business. It's basically like anybody but Zion is available. And so that kind of makes them a wild card as well. And then, yeah, the Brooklyn thing, again, I know I said it at the top, but 5 picks, there's no way they're using 5 picks. That's just not happening.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. Eric Gunderson is our guest. Blazer Banter on Twitter, Blazer Banter Substack, blazerbanter.substack.com is where you can find his writing on the Trailblazers, talking a little bit of Anfernee Simons trade and NBA draft, which is tonight. If they do stick at 11, Gundy, you know, it's interesting now we kind of have a different perspective on it because the roster has changed in the last 48 hours. Now there are more dominoes likely to fall, at least it seems that way. If they do stick at 11, who are the names, who are the guys that stand out to you? Are you worried about positional fit and, hey, their best player available is a point guard. We don't need another point guard. Do we stay away from that? Looking for just wings? What's on your mind at number 11?
You know, I've really liked Cedric Coward a lot. I like his physical makeup. I like the fact that he was a really good rebounder in college. I like that he can shoot. I also really like the fact that, you know, before he became this draft riser, he was going to go to Duke, and usually Duke knows what they're doing. So I think that's a good sign, but it seems like he's going to go way later than that. I'm a little bit higher on Yegor Demon than some people. I like the size. I know that he's more of a point guard, but he's more of a pass first guy. They could use maybe another guy that can get other people involved. And then Kasparis Giakachonis is another guy that I hear a lot about, but I'd also be into Carter Bryant. I mean, he's a wing, especially if Jeremy Grant is getting traded. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to need another wing to kind of come off the bench. And again, a little bit like how Drew being older is maybe a more of a possibility that he comes off the bench. Carter Bryant being younger and like a rookie makes it a little bit easier to kind of bring him along slowly. So I think Carter Bryant would be a really intriguing pick as well. And I think there's a lot of upside there. He can shoot. He can play defense, and I think Carter Bryant really fits this team's identity a lot as well. Hmm. So I like a lot of those guys, to be honest with you. I think this draft is very deep. Another guy that I want to shout out that I really like, especially if maybe they move Ayton or Robert Williams, is Thomas Sorber from Georgetown. He was one of the best freshmen in the country last year behind Cooper Flagg, and a lot of people don't know him because, you know, Georgetown isn't what they used to be, but really good defensive player and also really skilled offensive player. And I wouldn't mind taking a flyer on him either. So there's a lot of guys I like in this draft, to be honest with you. It's a pretty deep first round.
Last one for you, Gundy. Would you be shocked? Would it be a mistake if Scoot's coming off the bench and they start Drew next to Shea?
I think it would be a mistake. I don't think it would be smart, personally. I think it would be a waste of time, and I also don't think it's better for the team. Now, I know that sometimes Scoot makes, you know, he falls asleep sometimes on off-ball defense, but or, you know, misses a rotation here and there, but he's never going to get better at those things if he doesn't play. And I think the upside that he gives you offensively, especially, you know, given this team's struggles offensively the past couple of years, I think you need that. I think you need his ability to get the team organized, to play with pace, to hit the ball, do the hit-ahead pass to Denny, to Tumani, to those guys. He gets them into a better flow offensively. And at this stage of his career, I don't think Drew can do that. I don't think Drew can run an offense at this stage of his career. I really don't. Like, he might be able to do so in a bench role, but I don't think that's the role that he's best suited for at this stage. I mean, on Boston, he was what, like the fourth or fifth option, like maybe even sixth option if Peyton Pritchard's out there. Like, he's not a guy that should be leading your offense, in my opinion. He's a great player to have on your team, but I think it would be a major mistake if they don't start Scoot.
Amen, brother. You're preaching to my choir. This is why I'm a Blazer banter believer, man. He's always number one in my book, even though he calls in every time from the toilet. I love him. Eric Gunderson, at Blazer Banter on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Change the background picture on Twitter. We need a new player in that middle, you know, like Brady Bunch photo of the young Blazer guards. And subscribe to his Substack, blazerbanter.substack.com.
So far, a masterpiece.
That was a masterpiece. He hit it out of the ballpark. Enjoy the draft tonight, Gundy, and let's do this again soon.
Appreciate you, Dirt. Let us brag. We'll talk later, guys.
Wow.
I mean, me and Gundy are homies, dude.
I don't care.
Me and Gundy are homies, man. NBA Dirt chiming in.
Appreciate you, Dirt.
You got it, bro.
See you later, Sprague.
I got you, dog. I got you.
Getting my ass handed to me by a non-basketball guy.
Should we check in with the top 10 All-NBA poll question, too?
No, I saw it.
Pelican Brewing
Swag
Company.
Swag was last on
Swag
that.
Swag is dead last in that thing. Yeah.
I'm more enlightened than everybody else. I don't expect the, you know, the
are you about to drop?
That is the most Jason Swigart answer of all time.
NBA.
Us peasants down here couldn't quite fully embrace and understand your NBA takes.
Exactly. You know, Jesus was crucified at 33.
Pelican Brewing Company presents today's Daily Ticker. Pelican invites you to take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, Lincoln City. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. I got my new Pelican lid on. I'm digging it. Feeling the vibes.
I was almost going to wear it this morning.
Dude, we could have doubled up with our new Pelican lids.
But I just got a haircut.
Yeah.
And
it looks good, by the way. It's a good looking haircut.
Thank you. Also, I was like, he's going to wear this.
Yeah, I'm going to wear it.
I didn't know which one because we got two.
You knew I was going to wear one.
I'm wearing the other one tomorrow.
You give me a free hat. I'm going to wear them. That's how I do.
It's some sick swag, man.
Hey, number 11. Trade it, keep it, guard, wing. What do we want to do? Let's start diving into some draft stuff next on The Fam. All right, Bill Orme coming up top of the hour.
What do you think of when you hear this song? We should all think of the same thing.
Step Brothers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Karate.
Yeah.
Running up and down the stairs.
Did we just become best friends?
Yeah. The mom getting happy that her 40-year-old children are friends.
You want to go do karate in the garage? Oh, yeah, I want to go do karate in the garage. It just sounds like a great time. Well, it is the day.
Appreciate you, Dirt.
I got you, Gundy. Spring. I got you, dog. It is the day of the NBA draft, overshadowed by the trade of Anfernee Simons and the Fan Golf Classic being yesterday. Tonight, the draft. It's the draft. We made it.
I think I got crop dusted by Rop yesterday.
Did you?
We were talking. We were delightful.
Outdoor crop dust, huh? That's a powerful crop dust. It was a little gusty yesterday. It was windy.
Would you classify somebody that does turn to walk away from you and then lets it out as a crop dusting? Or is a crop dusting somebody who just walks by you and doesn't say anything about it?
More the latter there. Okay. More the latter.
Crop
you're walking
dusting
by.
Is intentional.
I don't think crop dusting has to be intentional. I think there's an unintentional crop dust.
I've accidentally crop dusted.
I mean, I crop dust people every day.
I'm in a studio.
Although the last time somebody had a really bad fart in the studio, it was you. You had one after the show the other day, and I literally had to go sit out. I had to remove myself from the premises.
I was so proud.
Yeah, that was bad. That's usually me to you, and you returned. You played the Uno switch card on me there. Reverse! Let's take a look at the last mocks. The last and final mock drafts of the NBA draft. You ready for
which
this?
Which one are you going to cite?
I got three different ones I'm going to throw at you, Bob. Because I got three different players that they're taking.
I looked at the ESPN.com.
So ESPN will start there. The last time the mock is happening on the day of the draft, they once again have Portland, according to Jeremy Wu, drafting Kasparis Jakachonis, the point guard from Illinois.
So there's a lot of intel of Carter Bryant.
Yes.
And almost every mock Carter I've Bryant, seen.
That was must have been like 2 days
well,
ago.
I just wonder,
oh, yeah. This was 4 hours ago. It came out.
This is all. This has to do. Look, he's mocking based on fit, skill, player types that they like.
They have Carter Bryant going one pick ahead to the Phoenix Suns.
If you tell Jeremy Wu Carter Bryant goes to the Suns, or no, Jakachonis or somebody goes to the Suns and Carter Bryant's on the board, I bet you he would say Carter Bryant to the Blazers.
If he's available at 11, I think that's the pick that they're going to make.
And I think
it's just a question of will he be available at number 11.
I like Cedric Coward. So if they trade back because a team's going to give him a little more stuff, I'm okay with that. I like Cedric Coward as well. Some of that has to do with our 8 a.m. guest writing a really cool piece about his Willamette days. I got to give Swag credit here. Doesn't happen often in this show.
Nope.
Jason T. Swigard.
What did he do?
He got me on board.
He's got you.
Carter Bryant.
Swagalicious.
Look, we had a guy named Kobe Bryant terrorize us. We need a Carter Bryant to write this ship. Yes. I'm in. You got me.
Oregon just signed Kobe's nephew.
Yes.
Jet Washington. Jet what a Washington. Name that is.
Now, that's fantastic.
Did they do this like they did with Outkast son of we just want the notoriety of being linked to a big name?
No, this guy's like a top 20 player
he's
in the country.
The number
he's
one
a 6 foot five, 200 pound safety.
Country.
Okay, I didn't know where he ranked because I only saw Kobe.
How dare
Bryant
you not follow Oregon recruiting? How dare you not follow?
Ryder Lyons,
I even
though, I saw that.
Over this
that's
one.
All right.
Did Ryder Lyons commit to
BYU? The Mormons stick together. What can we do?
Is he going on a mission?
Yeah, he's going on a mission.
He's a mission quarterback.
He's not showing up till 2027.
Yeah. So that's the ESPN mock. Their reasoning is after Portland traded Anfernee Simons, brought in an older guard in Drew Holiday, clearing the way for Scoot and Shaden to spread their wings in the backcourt, there's perhaps more room for Portland to develop a younger backcourt player, especially one who could space the floor effectively. The emerging Donovan Clingan makes it unlikely the Blazers will target a center with the pick. So that's the ESPN mock.
Would we categorize Donovan Clingan emerging. As emerging?
Emerging. I don't know if I would use that word. I thought he had a fine rookie year.
He needs to be on the conditioning program of all conditioning programs this summer.
I mean, it's year two. You're a professional athlete.
You're a professional athlete. You're going into your second year in the NBA. If you can't play 30-something minutes a night, then maybe you should look for a new career.
Final answer. Was it Schultze? I don't know who it was yesterday trying to tell me that Ayton should start and Drew Holiday should start.
Over Scoot and
Clingan.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Schultze. No.
Shea or Scoot is going to come off the bench. And I don't know where people are at on Shea.
Don't poop on my dreams. Don't poop on my Drew off the bench dreams.
I saw Drew. My initial thought was, great. Drew's going to come off the bench.
He's a vet. He's more accepting of that role.
I'm all for it.
And let's let the youngsters go and see how they fit together. And
stagger them 5 minutes after Holiday, the first quarter starts.
Holiday might close early on in games if you need somebody out there
in a
tight game.
Yeah.
I need somebody that knows what the hell they're doing in this situation and can orchestrate crap. But... starting, I want to see those young guys all go and start to build chemistry and mesh and gel together and see what they can do.
What they should have done 2 years ago. Amen, brother.
Okay, so Carter Bryant on Jakachonis on ESPN.
Yes, we get sidetracked. We're talking Oregon recruiting somehow in this segment. Jakachonis, according to ESPN, number 11. This is the CBS Sports mock draft.
All right.
Okay. You familiar with Kyle Boone and his work?
Sure.
Kyle Boone. He jumps around. He does NFL stuff.
Okay, well, here's his latest mock draft on CBS. He has them taking Yegor Demon with the 11th overall pick. His writing is, Portland shook up its backcourt in a big way this week in dealing Anfernee Simons to Boston in return for Drew Holiday. Demon could give the team a big point to develop for the future, for the long term to help the team under an aging Holiday. So that's his writing on that. He's Yegor Demon going number 11.
Okay.
And then this one was from, I believe, Sam Smith of NBA.com.
Yes.
And I will go ahead and ask for the pronunciation for the 8,642nd time with the 11th overall pick. He has the Portland Trailblazers taking Noah Esengu.
Esengu.
Yeah.
I got it right?
Yeah.
The 6'9" forward from Germany. Now, we do this with a lot of guys. We do this in college football. Guys don't play their bowl game? Does he have the drive?
He played in La Liga.
Does he love football? Bundesliga. What is this guy doing right now to attend the NBA draft tonight? Trivia question. Do you know this?
What is he doing?
What is he doing to attend the NBA draft tonight? Do I know something basketball related that neither of you do?
Is he rowing a boat?
That'd be kind of cool if he did. That's a long boat ride.
Taking a Concorde.
What teams he play for?
The Bundesliga.
The Bundesliga, sure. Whoever he plays for over in the Bundesliga.
The German team.
The German team.
It's a German
team. They're in the finals, and he's leaving in the middle of the finals.
I mean.
To attend the NBA draft and walk across the stage.
He's making a right call.
Does he have that dog in him, though?
Yeah, he's going to the NBA. I think you abandoned the German league to go to the
NBA.
Those
are your three mocks. Which one makes you happiest? Quickly.
So I've watched quite a bit of Noah Asengu. Because I wasn't as familiar with his game. Shaky shooter. Most of his highlights are cut and dunk.
Yamming on people. Hey, I like yamming on people.
I do too.
Let's get another yammer.
Feels a little raw and limited. Not going to be a contributing member much next year, in my opinion.
Okay.
I think if you made me pick, I like Yegor. I do. I'd be cool with that. I think I'm going to go Carter Bryant if he's on the board.
No, it's not. Then Mox, he's not on the board. These three names. Don't cheat. Jakaciūnas, Demon, or Asengu.
At that point, I think I would prefer Jakaciūnas amongst the three.
I think I'm going Demon.
You go Demon?
Yeah.
I think I'm going Asengu.
I want a Yegor bomb.
How many international MVPs do we have in a row? Let's take an international player.
But no,
give me a Yegor bomb.
I mean, I guess Touche is also.
If Carter Bryant's on the board at 11.
That was stupid. I'm going to go ahead and retract that last
Most of the time in the draft now, you can just kind of assume they're international.
There you go. The latest mocks in the NBA draft have them taking three different players it is tonight. We'll have more thoughts on that.
Pretty geeked up for it.
Dude, I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to start the final hour with our good buddy, the columnist at the Oregonian, Bill Oram. What is his take on the trade of Anthony Simons, the Blazers draft, and all that? Kicks out the final hour next on 1080 The Fam.